Today's daf in Masechet Anit, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, is daf Chav Gimel, and we're up to Maaseh, two dots, Maaseh Sheshalchu Lechoni HaMa'agel. So we have a braisa that expands a bit on the story of Choni HaMa'agel. So Tana Rabbana, Pa'am Achad, Yatsa Rov Adar V'lo Yardu Gishami. Disaster. It was already, most of Adar had passed, it still hadn't rained, and it looked like it was going to be a total famine. So he tried, yitpalel, but lo yardu geshamim. Agugav yamad betocha, kiderach she'asa Habakkuk HaNavi. It's not Choni HaMa'agel who came up with this idea all on his own, to draw circles and stand in them. He actually took the idea from Habakkuk, because if you take a look at the Targum of Habakkuk, so over there, it says Tvila l'Habakkuk, he speaks about Am Mishmarti e'emoda v'et yatzva matzor. I'm standing at my special place, at a special post that I have, and I've put myself into siege. So what is the Targum over there? It says that he built a jail, basically. He built this little enclosure for himself, and he's got inside of it, and he said he's not coming out. He's besieged until HaKadosh Baruch responds to his tefillah. Amar lefanav, ribono shel olam. So Choni HaMa'agel said, listen, banecha samu paneyam alai, shani kiven bayit lefanecha. Your children turn to me because they know that I'm like a ben bayit in your home. They didn't come to me because I'm such a great person. They came to me because of you. Nishba ani b'shimcha gadol, sheini zaz mikan ad shetrachim apanecha. So therefore, I take a shvua on myself. I'm not going out of here until you show your rachamim for your children. And at that point, itchilu gishamim menatafim. So it started to drizzle a little bit. Amru lo tamidav, Rebbe, please, re'inucha v'lo namut. I mean, listen, we want to be zeicha to see you, but to see you in a way that we won't die of hunger. Kimedumi in anu she'en gishamim yordim el olatir shvuatcha. I mean, we all see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted your words. So he just wants to get you out of the pickle you put yourself into. So you said you're not going to leave your prison, so to speak, until it starts to rain. So he gives a little drizzle so that you don't have to stay in prison. But there doesn't seem to be any interest in helping us because we're still stuck here without any useful water. So Choni HaMa'agel says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amar lo kach sha'alti. That's not the rain I'm talking about. I'm talking about rains that are great rains are going to fill up all of the reservoirs, all of the cisterns, Gishmei Barot, Shechin, Umiarot. So they started to fall like an enormous storm, Bezav, Achikol, Tipav, Tipav, Kemelopi, Chavit. Every drop of rain was a whole jar. V'shiyaruch HaChabim, Ein Tipav, Pechutami, Lug. There wasn't a single drop that was less than a whole lug. Omru lo tamidav, Rebbe, Rinucha v'lo namut. But if things go on like this, it sure looks like these rains are only coming down to destroy whatever's left. Ein geshamim yordim elo la'abed ha'olam. Amar lo olam, amar lo fanav, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is not what I'm asking. Lo kach sha'alti. I'm asking for gishmei rotzein, brocha, unedova. Then the rains fell properly. Yordu ketikunam. Everyone had to move out of their home in Yerushalayim to go all the way up to the Harabayit because things were getting flooded. Amru lo Rebbe, kishem shitpalalta sheyerdu, kach itpalel v'yelchulem. Well, you did a good job of davening for the rain, but could you maybe daven that they stop? Amar lehem kach mekublani, ein mitpalalim al rov tova. I have a Kabbalah that we'd never ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to stop giving us his teva. But I'll tell you what, I have an idea. Havili par hoda'a. So Choni, who lived at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, originally, so he said, this was the early part of Choni's life. So he said, Havili par hoda'a. Havili par hoda'a. So machste yadav alav. So he puts his two hands on it, and he says, Amar lefanav ribono shel olam. Amcha Yisrael, shotseta mimitzrayim, einan yecholim lo berov tova, berov poranut. Look, this is your arm. You took them out of Mitzrayim. They're your responsibility. You already know how finicky they are, and that they can't handle you. They don't know how to handle all of the amazing gifts that you give them, and they don't know how to handle all the amazing pain that you send them, all of which is for their teva. And because of that, you can't treat them as if they're mature and understand what's going on. Ka'asta aleihem, einam yecholim la'amod. You get angry, they can't take it. Yishpat aleihem tova, einam yecholim la'amod. So I'm sending you this Korban Shlomim as a teda to show how much we appreciate the Gishomim, but to take into consideration the limits of Klal Yisrael. Yiratzom l'fanecha, shivzikua Gishomim v'yerevach ba'olam, miyad nashva ruach. As soon as he said that, the wind started to blow, nitpazru ha'avim, the clouds disappeared, and zorcha chama, out came the sun. Everyone went out to the fields, and they vilehem kameim upitrio. They collected all these delicious mushrooms and truffles, and they were just, that was to show them, as Rashi says, that this rain was there as a brocha. They immediately had value from it. They had what to eat from it. And Shimon ben Shetach hears about this story. And he sends him the message, you know, if you'd be anybody else, I'd put a cherem on you, because the halacha is that you're menadim for the covet of the Rav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is at least the covet of the Rav, no? And look at the way you spoke to him with such chutzpah. And let me point out to you, you don't really know what you're doing. But velo od, as the Grah puts in over here, velo od, there's another problem here. Forget about the fact that menadim al covet harav. You basically risked being over on a shvua shav. Why? Because you don't have the facts. Nobody has the facts. Let me ask you something. Imagine for a moment that these years were the same as the years when Eliyahu HaNavi had made a shvua and had said, now he could make that shvua. He had the maftechot shel gishamim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given him over, as we saw earlier, the keys to gishamim. And he makes a shvua and says, I swear that it's not going to rain until I say so. And you come along, and you've got this great reputation, and you say, I swear, I'm not going to leave until it does rain. Now, one of you's got to go. So basically, somebody is going to be making a shvua that can't possibly be. So therefore, you don't have a right, really, to do this kind of thing. Rabbi Kaplan is calling to remind me, it's your last chance to still get in that tzedakah. So take advantage of it now while you can. Anyway, so it would be a tremendous chilul Hashem. So this is true. Obviously, it doesn't mean literally that if Eliyahu HaNavi had made a shvua. He's just pointing out, you can't make a shvua that is dependent on such an immense number of issues that affects the entire world. You have no idea why it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing this and so on. I mean, you're risking a chilul Hashem besides speaking with chutzpah to HaKadosh Baruch. Nonetheless, I can't put you in the chair. Ma'a selecha. Ata mitchate lifnei amokim. You know, you go around all the time doing the wrong thing. As if you're chayte, and he say, okay, it's fine. Selecha ritzoncha. He always does what you ask. Geben mitchate al aviv. I mean, it's definitely a improper behavior, would you not say, of a child who keeps bothering his father, and every time he brings him something and says, okay, now go to sleep, and he agrees to go to sleep, and 2 minutes later, he's back again. So, no, and anyway, the nice father, he still comes along. First, he says to him, Abba, you know, I want a bath. So, okay, then I want to get washed off with cold water afterwards. Take me to the swimming pool. Now it's time to go to sleep. He says, well, you know, I want some nuts. Gives him some nuts. Now I want almonds. Gives him the almonds. I'm not ready to sleep yet. I need some peaches. And then he needs some pomegranates. Benotenlo. Valecha katuv omer. For people like you are so much b'nei beisav. V'kadosh baruch hu yismach avicha v'imecha v'togel yolatecha. So the whole thing is in terms of the family simcha, in which it's seen as part of the same bias. And that's exactly what it was that he himself said, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ani kiben bayis lefanach, and that's the only reason that they come to me. Tana Rabbanan, ma shochu b'nei lishkat ha-gazit l'choni ha-margel. What did the Sanhedrin send to him with this maysa? They said, you know, It says in the Torah in Iyov, "Vatigzar omer v'yokam lach v'al drachecho noga or." You say a gezera, and it comes about. And the way that you decide the world should be, that's the way that lights up. Vatigzar omer means you choni amagel will gozer milamata. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mekayim ma'amarcha milamala. V'al drachecho noga or. What was the shine of light? This was a generation that was, whose faces were darkened by hunger. Dor shaya afel, he'arta b'tfilatecha. You made them shine. Hishpilu v'tomer geva, because even though they fell, and they're very mushpalim, they're very low class, you were the one who said, geva, they should stand tall. It's a continuation of the sugyas where we saw that the, for instance, by Rava, by all the other cases, where the presence of the tzaddik, and that's what we were learning in by Yaakov Avinu and by Naomi, that the presence of a tzaddik beir is the light of the city. So that's gufa. The or is the fact that the shechina is shara there. So dor hishpilo is the vatomer gavei. And Vishach Einayim Yoshia, people had their eyes down to the ground, given up, and you saved them. Dor Sheshach Bavono, this was a whole generation that was sunk low in its sin. Hosha'ato b'tfilatecha, and you answered them. You saved them through your tefillas, through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yimaleit inaki, the one who is not innocent, the non-innocent, Dor Shaloi Anaki, you were Mimalet Bitvilatecha, you saved them through your tefillah. Vinimlat Bivor Kapecha, saved through the purity of your own hands. Milatato b'maaseya decha brurin, the things that you do are so clear, are so real, are so beautiful, that's the reason that it was possible for you to save them. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, it's a wonderful story about the very end of Choni's days. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol yamav shel oto tzadik, haya mitzta'er al mikra ze, shira ma'alot b'shuv Adonai et shivat Zion hayinu kichomim. And that seems to be saying that even after the 70 years of Golus Bavel, which is what b'shuv Hashem et shivat Zion means, which he, Choni, was so close to and was so sensitive to, that it will be, the whole thing will be like a dream to us. And it bothered Choni very much. As Choni said, Mi'ika denayim shivim shnin b'chelma. What does this mean, that it would be like a dream? Because the implications of saying that it would be like a dream would be that the entire 70 years, which is the full life of a human being, could be lived as if it was never part of reality. Which to Choni meant that basically any human being can see his life as just a dream, which of course is true. It's the way every person feels. And when you look back on things, it's just like a dream. And if that's the case, so then what value is it? Is this really a metaphor that it's possible to have a human life? And what, it doesn't achieve anything? It doesn't mean anything? I mean, it sounds horrifying. So in order to show him what the meaning of Shira Malos is, one day he was going along the road, so he sees a man who's planting this carob, and he says to him, it takes a long time for carobs to mature till they bear fruit, doesn't it? How long is it going to take this tree before it gets its first fruit? Omar Lay, takes up to 70 years. Omar Lay, so Choni said to him, and you're planting a tree for what? I mean, you really believe you're going to live another 70 years? Pshita lecha dechayit shivim shinin, that you're planting the tree? So he said to Choni, listen, I'm not planting the tree for me. I came into a world that had carob trees in it, didn't it? So obviously people had planted trees before I got here. So hai gavra alma becharuva ashkachti, I found a world with carob trees. And therefore, I don't see my life as being a story of myself. I see my life as being a story that's multi-generational. So this is already the first indication, the Choni, that you should get out of that way of looking at things. That's exactly why this starts the remainder of this story. So Choni sits down and has himself a sandwich. So Yosef Kakorach Rivta, and he suddenly becomes very tired. And he falls asleep. And Ahadir Lemishunita, this rock growth, came around him. And he Kasimiena, and he became completely hidden. Nobody could find him. And he slept for 70 years. So basically, he simply disappeared. Kikam, he gets up and goes out into the world, and he sees the guy that planted the tree is taking fruit from the tree. Amarle, what? Aren't you the guy who just planted the tree? No, this is the guy. I'm his grandson. I just look like him. Oh my God, says Choni. Shmamina denayim shivim shneen. So I must have slept for 70 years, just like it says. And he had left his chamor there, and he sees that it's got thousands of offspring all around. So Rashi explains this was without, obviously, the chamor had been part of this outside of time experience. So the chamor had been pregnant before and had a male child. And then they reproduced with each other, and the following generations kept reproducing. And now there are thousands of these chamorim that he had. He goes to his house, so he wanted to know whether is his son still around. So he says, "Bereidi choni amakel mikayim." Said, "Nah, are you kidding? His son died years ago, but he's got a grandson that is here, Barbara Ita." So he said to him, "I'm him. I'm choni amakel, the one who disappeared." Loimnu. So he goes to the Beis HaMedrash, and in the Beis HaMedrash, he finds that the Rabbonim are sitting around saying, it's an amazing day. The year in Shmaita Din Kibishnei Choni HaMa'agel. You know what they say about Choni HaMa'agel, how wonderful the learning was in his days. That when he used to come into the Beit HaMedrash, Kol Kushit Havilu Rabbonim HaMifareklu, any problem in the sugya that the Talmidim had, he would immediately be able to explain to them. And that's what it feels like today. Everything is just so clear. Amalu, it's me, Ananiu. Loim knew they didn't believe him. And they didn't give him covet. I mean, they see, obviously, you know, I mean, he's clearly a Talmud Chacham, but as my Rebbe explained, you can't speak to someone not in your generation. So there's no way that he could show them his real God. Listen to what the heck he was talking about. So basically, they saw he's a learned person, but, you know, it didn't mean anything to them. And therefore, he had lost all connection to the world. Cholish daite, boy rachme, so he asked for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take his life, and he died. Omar Rava, Hainu da Amri Inshi, that's the saying. The saying is, O Chavruta, O Mituta. Either give me a place in the world, or let me die. So, the pshat in this, is the way I understand it, is that the idea over here is that Choni HaMa'agel discovered that his life as a dream of 70 years, his life was less important than the dream. In other words, when he showed up in the flesh, it meant absolutely nothing to people. But what it was that his life had been meant everything to people. There he's got thousands of descendants of Talmidim, of people who are remembering what it was like in the years of Choni HaMa'agel, even though they have no connection to the real thing. So as far as they're concerned, Choni's been dead for 70 years, which of course is the meaning of this story. And that it's as if he glimpsed his life from the outside 70 years later. In which case, it has nothing to do with him anymore. It really is a dream. She's Mevakesh Rachami, what do I need to be here for? I'm not contributing anything, and I can't possibly contribute. But everything that he had contributed, which was just a dream in terms of its physical presence, had left behind exactly as the guy who planted the tree in the beginning told him. I found a world with these trees here. I'm going to leave a world with these trees. Choni HaMa'agel did the same thing. And so does every human being. So speaking about Choni HaMa'agel's grandson, there was a maisa about him as well, because he also had the schus of being able to bring the Gishomi. Gavi, today I was hoping that you would actually take us to Choni HaMa'agel's kever.
on the way, but we missed the bus, so we're just walking down the hill.
Oh, so you're on the way? You're on your way to Chatzor?
Yes.
Okay, so wow.
That, 2 kilometers.
Yeah, no, it's pretty far. I don't know. Okay, that's... That's wonderful. Okay, good. I hope you make it in time. So you'll get to Abba Chilki also, right? Okay. Abba Chilki is right down the street. Okay, beautiful. You don't have much of a, out there in the mountains, you don't have much of a connection, I'm afraid. But okay, keep going. We love the videos. So anyway, so Abba Chilkiah was the grandson of Choni HaMa'agel. So V'chimatzrich Alma L'mitra, so whenever there needed to be rain in the world, having Mishadrei Rabbanan L'gabe, so they would send some of the Talmidei Chachamim to ask him to daven, Uboy Rachmi, and he would, V'ati Mitra, and it would start raining. And one time, Zimna Choda Itzrich Alma L'mitra, and they sent a Zuga de Rabbanan L'gabe, they sent two Talmidei Chachamim to him, L'Uboy Rachmi, and they say Mitra. So, they came to his house. They didn't find him. So they went out, walking down that very path where Gavi is walking right now. And also, Badavra, they went down into the fields to be able to find Abba Chilkiah. And they wanted to ask him to daven. There he is. They find him hoeing in the field. Yogile Shlama. So they say Shalom Aleichem, expecting him to respond and to shake their hands and to, you know, look like he's really happy to see them and so on. But he basically ignored them. He wouldn't even look at them. I mean, he could say Shalom Aleichem, but he was not meir ponim to them. So he didn't show them lo asberle ponim. So that evening, they waited for him. So that evening, he picked up all of the wood that he wanted to take home with him. And he takes the tzivli v'mora b'chat katva. He's carrying the wood and the hoe that he had been using on one of his shoulders. And then his clothing he had taken off. He took his sweater, his hands out of the sweater on that side so that these things were right on his shoulder, hurting him. And he left it on the other shoulder. And the whole way back home, he did not put on his shoes. But when he got to a stream of water, he put on his shoes at exactly the time that they're going to get wrecked in the water, which I thought was crazy. He comes to this place where all of the plants are full of thorns. So he lifted up his clothing, which exposed his skin to these thorns. He comes, they didn't say anything to him meanwhile. He comes into town. His wife comes out and she's dressed to kill. I mean, she looks like, oh my God, she's like going to the concert because she's coming out to greet her husband. He comes to his house. He has his wife go in first, which is strange. Then he goes in and then he invites these guys in. Then he sits down to eat and he doesn't invite them to eat anything. And how do you do that? How do you not invite somebody to come with your guests? Then he takes a piece of bread, polag riftali yanuki, gives it out to his kids. To his older son, he gave one portion. And to his younger son, he gives two portions. And then he says to his wife in her ear, he whispers to her, listen, I know why they're here. They came to ask for rain. Let's go up to the roof. We'll pretend that we need to bring something down. We'll be mavakish rachamim together. And efshet demaratzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'yete mitra, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will let the rain come so that then by the time they need to ask us for rain, they won't need to because it's already raining. And that way, lo nachazik tivuta l'nafshin, they won't have to look at us, stupid people, as if to say, you're the ones that helped us to get rain. The sakal yigra, they go up. Kom yu b'chad hazavitu. He stands on one side of the roof. Kom yu b'chad hazavitu. She stands at the other. And the clouds start coming on the side that his wife is at. So, anyway, starts to rain. Kinochit, they come down. So he sits down. So, very nice to see you guys. Why have you come? What was the point of coming? They said to him, we were sent by the Rabbonan to Rebbe, said he should be Bavakish Rachamim and it should rain. Oh! Baruch Hashem, you don't need to ask. It's pouring out there. Baruch HaMokom, Shalom Yitzchak, and Abba Chilkiah. Would have been a sad day that you would have to come hunt a guy like me. Thank God. So they said to him, okay, cut the shtick. Yeah, we know exactly what's going on, right? Actually, we went outside to watch what was happening. So Yadana the Mitras Mach was Maru the Ata. We do know that the only reason it's raining is because of you. But meanwhile, your behavior today has been absolutely shocking. And we'd be very grateful if you could teach us why in the world you're doing this. Lemelan Mar, Ani Mila de Tmielan. If you could explain to us, we could learn from you. Could you explain to us why when we said Shalom Aleichem to you, you couldn't even look at us? Omar Lu, yes. I am actually paid by the day. And because of that, I feel that I don't have the right to take off a second for smiling at people. I owe the guy who hired me with every moment that's available. I can't slow down because I want to be nice to you. So I figure, Amina Lohi Pager, I can't interrupt. Okay, fine. Can you explain to us why when you were carrying those tough things, you bedavka carry it on your skin and the shirt you put on your other shoulder? That didn't make any sense. Of course it does. It wasn't mine. I'm not rich enough to own a shirt. I borrowed it, and I borrowed it for purposes of wearing it. I never borrowed it for purposes of having it rubbed down by wood and stuff like that. I just asked the guy if I could wear it. I don't have rishus. So therefore, lachi shali, lachi lo shali. Okay, could you explain to us the weird activity of a whole way you're walking? You don't bother putting on your shoes. Apparently, you don't want to wreck your shoes. But when you come to water, you put on your shoes. I mean, surely you're aware of the fact that going through the water is the best way to wreck your shoes, don't you think? Amalu, just the opposite. Makes perfectly good sense. Kula urcha chazina. When I'm walking on the ground, I can see exactly where I'm going, and therefore I won't step on anything that can hurt me. But when I get into the water, how do I know that I'm not about to step on some snake or something dangerous or jagged stone? So I have to put on my shoes. Doesn't that make sense to you? So, but my aloko chazina. Okay, can you tell us why it is that when you come dafka to the place where you most need the protection of your clothing, and there's these thorns all over the place, that's when you pick your clothing up so that you expose your skin? I mean, what are you, some kind of a Christian ascetic or something? He said, no, it makes perfectly good sense. I happen to have the type of covering that is remarkably advanced, and it's actually self-repairing. Whereas these old-fashioned clothing, when they tear, they never self-repair. So I figured I'd expose the self-repairing stuff, which is my skin, and the clothes I can't afford to wreck. So therefore I got them out of the way. Oh, wow. Gavi, you're there?
We are here.
Okay. It looked like you were already up on top where the sign is. I think we lost him for a minute there. Anyway, so that would make the most sense at all, isn't it? Of course. Zemala ruka. One of them is self-healing. That's my feet. And this cloth, it's some old-fashioned kind of thing that's not self-repairing. So I couldn't wear that. Okay, men, tell us, why when we came into town, does your wife come out dressed to kill like she's going to the opera? She doesn't want me to get turned on by some other woman. So she comes out there to show me how beautiful she is. Okay, so why did you actually have your wife go first, and then you went in? I mean, what are you, some kind of Esav guy? You're not supposed to have a woman go first. And then after that, you let us in? He said to them, do I know you? Lo b'dikisuli. One of you may be a rapist. I don't know. But I'm going to let you go into the house and be there with my wife alone, or leave you behind with your wife for 10 seconds? Get out of here. Don't trust you as far as I can throw you. You may be wearing a big black hat, but it don't mean nothing to me. Amazing. Okay, so then explain to us, why is it? And this is like not even insulting. I don't know you, that's all. Like, why in the world should I assume anything about you? Okay, so then my timer, Kikorich Marifta Lo Amalanai Tukro. Why in the world did you not invite us to eat with you? because I didn't have enough to feed you. And I knew if I would invite you, you would say no thank you, but then you would still have to say thank you. But you don't owe me any thank you, because I couldn't have fed you anyway. So it would have just been pure genevat dat, right? I would have given you the feeling that I'm inviting you, and I can't really invite you, because I don't have enough food to feed you. So how could I have invited you? So mishum de lo nefish arifta. So I said to myself, would I want the rabbana to be marzik teva to me b'chinam? I didn't do anything for them. That's like stealing. Okay, then explain to us, why did you give your older son only one portion, and you give your younger son two portions? That doesn't make any sense. Amalahu, because the older son is at home during the day, so he had food. He doesn't go to school anymore. But the little kid, he's all day long, he sits there in the cheder. He hasn't had anything to eat. So when he gets home, he's starving. So he needs twice as much food. So because of that, hayati bebek nishta. Okay, and then the last thing we have to ask you is that we noted that the clouds came to the corner where your wife was and only afterwards to you. And why was that? Is she a greater tzaddikus than you? Mishum de'ita tashricha bebeita. That's because a woman is usually at home. So if an ani comes around, she's available. And v'yahava rifta la'aniye, so she's able to give them food whenever they need it. Furthermore, what she gives is food. And that food is makarvi anayata. The ani is able to immediately be nene from that food. Masha enkein, when I give money to an ani, I mean, it's not immediate. Lo mikarva anayata. Now they got to go schlep to the store, get some food to eat, and so on and so forth, right? So because of that, it's mida keneged mida. She gives hana immediately. HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers her tefillah immediately. Does that make sense to you? Or it could be that there's another issue. Inami. Hani bir yune dahave bishvivutan ane bay rachme delimito. There are these juvenile delinquents in our neighborhood. And I always pray that they should die, because that's rachamim for them. The faster they die, the less damage they'll do to themselves and to the world. And she is mevakish rachamim, that they should do tshuva, and they did. They actually did tshuva. So, I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks that's a much better way to act. Now, this, of course, is a major question. I mean, we've seen this before, of course, back in Brochus with the story of Rabbi Meir and Bruria. We had exactly the same story. And Lemaisa L'Chazanish asks over there, as does everybody, and how in the world can you pray for someone to do teshuvah? Since the whole point is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't get involved in the other person's doing teshuvah, as the Rambam says, that Kishem Shechata from his own Bechira, so too does he do the teshuvah from his own teshuvah. And it has to come from his own Bechira. So what does that mean that she prayed that they should do teshuvah, and they did? There's many different approaches to this. One of the most interesting approaches is the Chazon Ish. Really, it's a classic Chazon Ish kind of approach. So the Chazon Ish says like this. L'maisa, everything is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? So even though it says, Hakol b'idei shamayim chutz mi'irat shamayim, that is, so to speak, a voluntary siluk of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in saying, I want my nivroim to self-achieve. So what would be the point of my doing teshuva for them? It doesn't have any meaning. My only reason in creating them is self-organization. But suppose the self-organization is of the greater self. That is to say, the interrelationship of the whole society. So that is basically the equivalent of Bechira, because now it's your Bechira that can help for this person, for the act to be mityaches to the Nivroyim and not to me. I don't think this is a right shot, but it is certainly brilliant. No? So it boils down to the same thing. So why shouldn't I be able to be Mispalel and then Bischus, the Bechira that I made to be Mispalel for them and to help them? So then that way they would be Chazer B'Tshuva. Obviously, the same way that we find that Dovan HaMelech is Mispalel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help him, like the Rambam asks. So when you're Mispalel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help you. How is that supposed to help? So, okay, so the Rambam says that you can be Mispalel, that the Avenais that you did should not be ma'akev that the tshuva, the ruri tshuva that you have from coming to fruition. So some explained that to mean, the way the Chazon Ish explained it to mean, was the fact that since you were the one that was bal atayir misayin le, so that's because you are the one who's coming to be mitayir, so therefore that's considered to be your bechira. So this is, would be only answerable if it's a, if it's a aggregate bechira in his approach. But the way that the Rambam presents the Nekuda is that this is not a violation of the Bechira, because this is a question of din, how it is that we respond to the Bechira of the things that you did earlier. And you could certainly be mispalel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be merachim on you to take away the onesh of having a heart that is unresponsive and is unable to translate the Ruhure Teshuvah that everybody has into real Teshuvah, which is the portion I answer. As the Marshal says, V'yeshli Hashem, there's easy answers. He doesn't explain what the answer is. But in any event, the question over here is, we find many places that, what about the story of Elisha? But these kids attacked Elisha, and they laughed at him, and so on, and he cursed them. They should be eaten up by the bears, right? So why didn't he daven that they should do teshuvah? I mean, he couldn't figure out what Ruri Eishes Rabbi Meir figured out. And why does David HaMelech in so many Tehillim that he speaks about his enemies and they say, you know, basically they should all drop dead. We shouldn't remember a word of their learning and so on and so forth. Why doesn't he just daven that they should do teshuvah and they would do teshuvah? And indeed is the correct hanhaga that whenever somebody treats you wrongly, you should daven that he should do teshuvah. So the Tzidkas HaTzadik says that, look, we're talking about two different things over here. If you're talking about somebody whose evil is klapei shamayim, so it's bein adam lamakom, so then it's correct to daven he should do teshuva. When somebody is ra lebriyos and he's your enemy, so then the mida keneged mida is that if he doesn't care about the briyos don't care about him. And then adarabah, it's better for the world that such a person isn't around because he's ra lebriyos. Now, there you have a right to daven and you should drop dead. Okay, Ben, as the Chofetz Chaim explains, I mean, but that's obviously only if you know that there's no personal negias in it. If it's personal, it can't be, even though it's all about you, that doesn't make it personal. It's obviously all about you in the case of Elisha, but it doesn't mean it's personal. It means that you don't tolerate the fact that somebody should be speaking to a Novi Hashem in this fashion, and so on. So that's why, he says, that's why David HaMelech, before he asks for these, the deaths of his enemies, he points out that libi chalal bekirbi, and that I feel that I don't have that personal involvement in it. And that's the reason that I'm able to make this tefillah. Okay, but anyway, it's a fascinating relationship. Now, there was another grandson. Gabi's got to get moving, because we're soon going to miss out not only on Choni Amago, but on his grandsons too. Start running, Gavi. Let's go, man. It's only another half a kilometer. Move it. Poor Gavi. So anyway, there was another wonderful grandson of Choni Amagel to whom Gavi is taking us also. And his name was Hanan Hanechba. So he was Hanan, and they called him the Hanan, the one that used to be hidden. What was that all about? Well, he was a son of the daughter of Choni Amagel. And he also had this magical ability to be mispalel and to bring rain. And kimitzrich amalamitra. So then they didn't send talmidei chachamim to him. They would send kids out of school to tell him that he should daven for them. And that way it would be ma'ir rachamim, that the children are desperate for water, and he would daven. So kimitzrich amalamitra. Av l'mishadei rabboni yanuka devei rav l'gabei. They would grab him. They were little kids. So they would grab him on his skirt and they would pull on it and they would say, Abba, Abba, Avlan Mitra, please, Abba, give us rain. And so then he would turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he would say, Ribono Shel Olam, look at these children. They don't know the difference between an Abba that can give them rain and the real Abba and me. I can't give him anything. And they're only talking to me because that's the only way they can talk to you. And then it would rain. Why did they call him Hanan HaNechba? Now, here we have this Girsa, which Rashi says he doesn't He doesn't have this gear. So he doesn't like this business of Beit HaKiseh. He says he was Hanana Nechba because he didn't let people know that the rain was coming because of him. So he would never be Mefarsim, the fact that he had been Mispalo, to bring the rain, and therefore they wouldn't be Makar Tevetim, just like we found the same thing with also his cousin that said the same thing. Oh, you don't need my tefillahs, Baruch Hashem, it's raining. So that's a tznius that a person has. In fact, we're going to see that tznius defines the difference between the Rabbon in Eretz Yisrael and those that are in Bava. And that's why Reb Zreika, based on this Maisa, turned to Reb Safra, and he said, you want to see the difference between the starker people in Eretz Yisrael? They weren't considered to be kind and nice people. They were tough people to keep Fidar Yisrael. And then they have these Hasidi, the Bava, the finest people, so nice, so kind. And you want to see the difference between them? So the Hasidim, the Bavel, who are the ones who are considered to be like the greatest Hasidim? Those from in Bavel, Ravuna, Rav Chista. And when there was a need for rain, so what would they do? They would say, let's gather around the people, and we'll be Mevakesh Rachamim, and maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Meratzeh, and he'll accept the tefillahs, and it'll start raining. But of course, if that's the case, then everybody would credit the great Ravuna and Rav Chista for having brought the rain. Now, that's how things were in Bava. But if you want to take a look.
Rebbe, please drink. Please drink.
Is that a message from Hanana Nechba in the water? Was that a message from Choni Amagel in the water? Was that a message from Abba Chilkia in the water? Was that a message from Anshe Yericho or Tzorech Lamaya? You look like you're around
Yericho.
Okay, there you go. Boy, the Jews should have had it that easy. That looks like a nice highway to drive by Yericho. Alrighty. Anyway, I took the drink. So anyway, who are the ones that are considered to be the toughies in Eretz Yisrael? Reb Yona, who was Avua, the Rabbi Moni, was a very tough guy. So Kavi Mitzrich Amalomitra, when they needed rain, so he would go into his family and he would tell them, he would tell them, you know what, give me my shopping sack over there. I'm going to go out, bring me a little bit of cash that we have. I'm going to go out and bring back a buck's worth of food. Ibur, I'm going to bring some grain. Then he would go outside and then he would go find a deep place. That's the remes to amuka. So beduchta amikta, dechtibi ma'amakim k'raticha Hashem. So tefillah should always come from the depths. V'koy beduchta tzinia, and he would stay bedavka in a place where nobody would see that he's sitting there davening. And there he would cover himself over with the very sack of the bag that they gave him, and he was mevakesh rachamim. And then it would start to rain. Vati mitra. Then he would come back, and the family would say, so, did you bring any food? Well, didn't you go out to bring food? He would say, yeah, I was right there. I got to the supermarket, and all of a sudden it started raining. So I figured I got to be crazy to buy food now, because next week the price is going to fall because of these rains, and food will be cheap. So I decided I'll come back home. So now the world is going to have less inflation. So I figure we have enough to wait till next week. So that's the difference as a person. First of all, he was able to bring the rain on his own. Didn't need to be mefarsim. He was very careful to make sure that nobody would know about it. That's how this relates to Hanana Nechba, which is why Rashi doesn't like the girsa that he was makbiyat for Beit HaKiseh, which has nothing to do with this story. The two, it was another, this Maisa, about Rav Moni, Rav Yoina, that have become a tzari later Venesia. So we're talking about over here, the people, these are not people this was the one Rav Yona was the father of Rav Moni. Now a story about Rav Yona's son, Rav Moni. If you want to see the godless of the tough people in Eretz Yisrael, not known for the Hasidus. So his son, Rav Moni Berei of Rav Yona, was having trouble by the Beit Nasiya. So the Beit HaNasi, they often didn't didn't hold of a particular Talmud Chacham, whatever, a lot of political problems, and we're making him political problems. So he comes to the grave of his father, Reb Yonah, who was the one that we just learned about, and he said, Abba, Abba, Hani Mitzareli, these guys are driving me crazy. So Yumachan, Avikachal Fehatam, so one day, some of the horses of the Beit HaNasi were passing over the Mara of Reb Yonah. And all of a sudden, the horses got stuck and they couldn't move. Inkut karadus is vitai. Until they were makabel on themselves, obviously this is Reb Yonah who's preventing our horses from moving. And we promise we won't bother your son Reb Mani anymore. So then he let them go and the horses kept moving. Vitu. There was another maisa that Reb Mani used to come to the shir of Reb Yitzchak ben Elyashev. So once he said to Reb Yitzchak ben Elyashev, who was another very tough guy, so he says to him, you know, Atiri de Vechami Kometzareli, I married into a rich family, and they're hassling me all the time. Oh, I should go to work, I should become a rich guy, whatever, I can't take it anymore. So Reb Yitzchak ben Elyashev said, okay, so let them be poor. So then they'll stop thinking about how much money you can make. So Vianu, sure enough, they became poor. A little bit later, Rav Mani comes back, and he says to Rav Yitzchak ben Elyashev, he says, now they're hassling me to support them. So kadocha kubi. I don't know which one was worse. So Rav Yitzchak ben Elyashev says to him, okay, so then let them become rich. So they became rich, and they stopped hassling him, but hopefully had learned a lesson. Another time, Rav Mani comes to Rav Yitzchak ben Elyashev, and he's got some marital problems. So he says to him, I got to tell you, my wife is a real turnoff. I mean, this girl is ugly, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I just can't take it. So Rav Yitzchak ben Elyashev said, what's her name? Her name is Chana. Okay, so Chana should get beautiful. Tityapi Chana. And sure enough, she turned into a beauty. Wait, so we're going into Choni HaMa'agel now? Gavi. That's the Ma'ara of Choni HaMa'agel. But if you're able to hear me, the place where I always go is up the stairs to stand on top of this kever, on that little spot. You know where that is? It's off to the side. I don't know if you can hear me. What a wonderful, wonderful place. Now, she do it for Gavi?
Yes,
yes. הם צריכים לשמוע את הסיפור הנפלא.
שמעו הסיפור בריכוז בגיל שלהם.
אז עכשיו שהם עומדים שם, אז אפשר להגיד להם את הסיפור. בינתיים אני אמשיך בסוגיה, ואחר כך אני אסביר להם איפה זה המקום הזה. אבל קודם כל שישמעו את הסיפור הנפלא. על שניהם. וגם הסיפור של חוני המאגר, השלושתם. Anyway, so what's your wife's name? Her name is Chana. Okay, so let Chana become beautiful. All right, so now she becomes gorgeous. A little while later, comes along Rav Mani and said, well, now she's getting so stuck up that she doesn't even treat me like a mensch. Okay, so then let her get ugly again. Let her turn blackened again. And so, Chazra Chana l'shachrurita. That's exactly what happened, and she became ugly again. Now we're approaching here we are. Once upon a time, before some idiots, or who knows, we should say Arabs, dug out the plaque that had this entire Gemara inscribed there many years ago, and you can see where the hole is on that. They put up a beautiful amud with the story from the Gemara right there. So somebody tore it out anyway. But that is directly over the kever of Choni HaMa'agel. So I always go there and I always say, Choni, I believe you. I know it's you. And we're still remembering. So anyway, that's a wonderful place. It's really an amazing place. A very, very inspiring place. Okay, that's Choni HaMa'agel. Thank you so much, Gavi. What an experience to be back there with him. Anyway, so then there were these two Talmidei Chachomi, and they come to Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elyashiv, and they say to him, look, your tefillahs are so amazing. Could you be Mavakesh Rachamim for us? Because we want to become very, very wise. Nichkam Tuva. Amar Lahu, so he said to them, look, this is the way Rashi learns. Imi Haita, I used to have that power. Ushlachtia, but I've lost it. I didn't handle it properly. But the Hasidim say, the Svasemes says that the pshat is not like that at all. He says a beautiful pshat. He says the pshat is, Imi Haita, I also used to be very smart. You know what I did with it? I threw it out the window because I realized it just got me into trouble. It's not a good thing to be very smart. And therefore, I'm not going to do you the disfavor of asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to put you into the same mess as I was in. So better you shouldn't get into that type of nisayon at all. So imi aita, I had what you're asking for, v'shilachti, and I threw it into the garbage. Classic Hasidus.